بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today in our Umdat al-Ahkam, we will begin inshallah to study the chapter that deals with inheritance. And as you know, Umdat al-Ahkam is not a detailed book. It is a summary that gives you a very brief yet concise amount of information for you to have knowledge about almost everything that deals in fiqh, but in a very easy and light manner. And the book or the chapter that we're talking about is inheritance. Inheritance is a very detailed and very highly technically level of science. And that is why rarely you will find someone who is qualified to give verdict or a fatwa on inheritance, though the evidence of it are found in 3 verses of the Quran only and a number of hadiths. So it should be easy, but it deals with a lot of calculations and a lot of do's and don'ts. And this person would inherit if there is no so-and-so. If there isn't, then there is. So, and the verse of Surah An-Nisa, يُوصِيكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ لِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ فِإِنْ كُنَّ نِسَاءً فَوْقَ اثْنَتَيْنِ فَلَهُنَّ ثُلُثَا مَا تَرَكُ وَإِنْ كَانَتْ وَاحِدَةً فَلَهَا النَّصْفُ وَلِأَبَوَيْهِ لِكُلِّ وَاحِدٍ مِنْهُمُ الثُّلُثُ. And it goes on. If, but if this, then this. And if this, then this. And this confuses people unless they go and study this beautiful science and structure it. And this science, also like most of sciences, it depends on practice. So they say practice makes perfect. Practice makes perfect. But if you, for example, look at prayer and Hajj, issues related to prayer are known almost to everyone. Why? Because they do it 5 times a day, they're regularly asked, it comes up, and yes, well, sujood al-sahw, when to do it, before salam or after salam, it's always there. When it comes to Hajj, it comes once a year. So you ask people, what are the pillars of Hajj? I don't know, I forgot. Okay, what do? We go to Muzdalifah first or to Arafat? I have no idea. People need to be reminded all the time. Likewise, inheritance. How many times do you get people dying and coming to you and say that a wife lost her husband, how much is inheritance? People usually don't ask about this. So you should be careful in seeking knowledge and acquiring knowledge of this beautiful science and the things related to it. Now, let us take the first hadith and then we will go on from there, inshallah. Who will read the first hadith? Okay, the brother there.
Ibn Abbas, Allah be pleased with him, reported that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam as saying, give the shares of the inheritance to those who are entitled to them, and what is left from those who are entitled to it goes to the nearest male heir. In another narration, distribute the wealth amongst the heirs according to the book of Allah, and what is left out of them goes to the nearest male heir.
Okay, now this hadith or these two narrations, we learn from them that the distribution of the inheritance must be given as stated in the Quran to those who are entitled to them. And who are those who are entitled to them? Meaning that there is the word of al-fara'id, farida. And farida is a prescribed portion, a prescribed percentage. So the Prophet is telling والسلام, that give the prescribed percentage or portion to those who are entitled to them. And if there is anything left, then give that to nearest male heir. Okay, now we understand that there are 2 types of inheritance from this. One type is through prescribed portion, which is al-fara'id. The second type is, if there is no prescribed portion, then he would inherit through his kinship through his closeness to that deceased. Again, this is a little bit dodgy and foggy. No problem. There is a third type, which is through allegiance. When you free a slave, and we will come to talk about that. Let us take it from the very beginning. Sheikh, you said fara'id, and you said portion, you said percentage. What are these? In the Quran, we have six portions or percentages mentioned in the Quran. Three of them is one, half of it and half of it. And the three of them is also one, half of it and half of it. Let us look at the first portion. Two thirds. What is half of it? One third. What is half of it? One sixth. So this is the first portion. The second portion, half. What is half of it? A quarter. What is half of it? One eighth. These are the six percentages or portions mentioned in the Quran. Who has them? It's a long list. But for example, for the first portion, two thirds, who gets the two thirds? The sons. The son gets no portion at all. The sons do not inherit by portion at all. They inherit by a ta'asib, meaning by their closeness to the deceased. So who inherits two-thirds? It's mentioned in the Quran. If the deceased had no male inheritors and he had females, if they are two or more, they will get two-thirds. If she is only one girl that he leaves behind, she would get half. So these are for the girls, for the daughters. Half of the two-thirds is one-third. Who gets one-third? The mother gets one-third, providing he does not have children. The father gets one-third, providing he does not have children. As mentioned in the Quran, فَلِأُمِّهِ الثُّلُثِ. That is, if he does not have offspring. But if he has offspring, then the mother gets one-sixth. So this is another portion of two-thirds, one-third, a sixth. And there are other people who would get one-sixth as well. We don't want to get into too many details because we have brothers, siblings, and we have half-brothers from the mother's side only. These also get one-sixth in certain conditions. Half. Who gets a half? We just mentioned one. A daughter, if she's one and there is no male siblings of her. In the hadith of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, if he had died, his daughter would get half. Okay. Is there anyone else who gets half? A husband. If a woman dies, leaving a husband and she has no offspring, she has no children, the husband gets one half of what she leaves behind. A quarter. Who gets a quarter? A husband gets a quarter. When? His wife dies and leaving a son or more, a daughter or more, any offspring, he would automatically get one quarter. Also, the wife gets a quarter. If the husband dies, leaving no offsprings. But if he dies, leaving a child or more, she gets one eighth. So these are some of the percentages mentioned in the Quran. Actually, they are the only percentages, the six types as we divided it. Two-thirds, one-third, one-sixth, half, quarter, and one-eighth. So now we know that these are the types that Allah Azza wa Jal allocated a certain percentage of. If we give them what Allah has prescribed, the rest goes to what is known as al-asabah. And al-asabah itself has a number of rulings in the sense that who inherits from al-asaba? The closest to the deceased. How do we know the closest? The closest person to the deceased is his offspring. Then followed by his parents, his father, that is. Then followed by his siblings, brothers. Followed by their offspring. the offspring of the brothers, followed by the uncles, then followed by the cousins from the uncle paternal side. The maternal side have nothing to do with al-asaba. And then afterwards, we go to al-wala, which is the pledge of allegiance, which results from freeing a slave, as we will talk about this, inshallah, in the future. Now, one says, if the son is the closest to the deceased, why doesn't he get a prescribed percentage? When you give a prescribed percentage, this is limiting what you have. Let us assume a man dies, leaving a wife, a father, and a son. We give those who have portion or prescribed percentage, first thing, their percentage. So the wife gets automatically how much? No, 1/8. The wife gets 1/8, as described in the second verse of the inheritance verses in Surah An-Nisa. And the father gets 1/6 because he has a son. So 1/8 and 1/6, you combine this, and then all of the rest, regardless of the percentage, goes to the son. It shows you how strong the son is, that he takes everything else. We have a short break. Stay tuned, and inshallah, we'll be right back.